This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. And so the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' And then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But the first refused. And then he went and threw the second into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. And then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you, until he would pay his entire debt? And so my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So, forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard. And saying sorry, seeking forgiveness, asking for forgiveness, it's also pretty hard. When I was in seminary, I worked as a part-time job at an after-school program in the neighborhood. Part of that job was fun. Part of it was teaching. Part of it was caring for children. Part of it was discipline. We would play tag or wall ball or on the playground. I would help them with their homework or help teach them manners. One little boy would come up to me and yell, "Give me the scissors!" And I would say, "Ethan, let's try that again. What do we say? Mr. Rory, can I please have the scissors?" Or another instance, like when one child would do something to another child, maybe something that was mean, like stealing a toy. I would say things like, "Francesca, if we don't take other people's toys, please give it back and say you're sorry. I'm sorry." And I would think, "Yeah, sorry you got caught." And I would say, "Francesca, say it like you mean it. I'm sorry." I don't know why we say it like you mean it. I mean, even in those instructions that we sometimes give to our children, we admit that we can't actually make Francesca ever feel sorry for stealing another child's toy. I can have her pretend, perhaps. Her little belligerent response to me was proof that remorse and our ability to show it doesn't come from outside of us. It's something that comes from inside, but I have her fake it anyway. "Say it like you mean it, Francesca. At least pretend to feel sorry, even if you're not. I can't tell you how many times I was in Francesca's shoes when I was growing up, or how many times my parents told me, "Rory, tell your sister that you're sorry. I'm sorry." Or now, as a parent, how many times I give that instruction to my own children. "Eden, say you're sorry."
"I'm sorry."
You know, at the start of our church service, we began this morning with a collective saying, "I'm sorry." We say, "I'm sorry" to one another and to God. And sometimes as we say those words, they speak to the remorse that I feel in my own heart for things that I know that I've done that I feel sorry for. And sometimes they're words that I say and without putting a whole lot of feeling into them. "I'm sorry." I mean, what do you do when you don't actually feel sorry? Or a harder question, what do you do when someone else doesn't feel sorry? What if it's your toy that's the one that's stolen? And the thief's apology to you is half-hearted at best, or maybe you don't even get that much. There was a young mother whose story I came across, who faced a question like that one. A question more difficult than any parent ever wants to have to face. Her 9-year-old son had been hit and killed in a car accident. And the other driver never once showed remorse. To the young mother, that other driver didn't care about the pain that they had caused, didn't share her pain, never apologized to her, never tried to contact the mother, not even once, to say even a half-hearted, "I'm sorry." And so the mother became angry. And the anger built and built over the days and weeks and months. Became so angry at this other driver. And 6 months after her son's death, as she was trying to process her grief, she was doing some reading. And she was reading about the importance of forgiveness in the grieving and healing process. But how could she show forgiveness to someone who showed no remorse for something that had been so horrible? And she was stuck. Have you ever felt stuck? Maybe you haven't faced this situation. I'd hope that none of us ever have to. But sometimes we face our own situations where someone has hurt us and we don't get the apology we feel we deserve. For this young mother, two things happened that helped her get unstuck. First was that she learned that the driver, who was another woman, another mother, had, since the accident, withdrawn from the world and withdrawn from her own family and was in a deep, deep despair. And she was inspired by a proverb: "That which I do not forgive in you lies unforgiven in myself." Jesus' words to his disciples and to us this morning speak on the power and the importance of forgiveness. Peter asked Jesus, "How many times must we forgive? When can we stop forgiving?" Jesus says, not even 7 times, which is a holy, complete number, but 77 times, or 70 times 7 times. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, you can never stop this act of forgiveness. Because if you do, you do it to your own torment. The parable that he shares following that encourages us is kind of a threat almost, that should we not offer the same forgiveness to others in our lives as we experience from God, that we will have our forgiveness revoked and will be tortured. Jesus says, "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your sibling from your heart." And I say this is less about a threat of future punishment and more a description of the torment that we already feel when that forgiveness stays pent up. It was certainly true for this young mother as she withheld her forgiveness. The torment was all that she had. And so this young grieving mother began to write a letter to this other woman, forgiving her for killing her son. And as she began to write, the words just flowed. A sign that that forgiveness had been pent up inside of her and was ready to flow out, just needed the opportunity. She wrote this letter, forgiving her, sent it off to the other woman. And you know what? She never received a response. But that pain and that anger and that torment that had been consuming her life began to dissipate from that moment on. And healing slowly began to come. And though the grief was always there, her life was able to move on. "That which I do not forgive in you lies unforgiven in myself," were the words that she read. These are words that are attributed to a proverb of the Buddha, but they mirror the words that Jesus speaks to his own disciples, as is true in many of our world religions, that the truths, the core truths at the center of them about God and humanity are often the same truths that we come to just from different directions. Forgiveness is all about relationship, and it's about our own experience. Jesus teaches his disciples in the prayer that they are to pray, "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us." Forgive. How many times? 77 times. Never stop forgiving. Offer forgiveness from your own heart, or the torment will be what you experience. Forgiveness is our pathway to healing. Forgiveness, the seeking of forgiveness and the offering of forgiveness, the feeling of forgiveness, is all tied up together in the same act. And indeed, your forgiveness and my forgiveness, the forgiveness I feel and the forgiveness I'm able to offer, they're all intertwined together. So let us loosen the words of our lips. Let us indeed apologize for the wrongs when we know we've made them, so that that forgiveness might not be tied up in another's heart. And let us offer that forgiveness freely, loosening our own words, saying, "I forgive you." And in those words, finding the healing and the growth and the promise of the kingdom of heaven. Amen.